Good morning. Welcome to our program this morning. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and I'm happy that you've taken the time out of your day to come and listen to us this morning. We hope that you will always tune in at this time each Sunday morning as we open up the pages of the most wonderful book on earth, God's book, the Bible. Today, we begin our study with the statement made in Judges chapter 21, and verse 25. Here, the Bible says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." Whenever you begin to discuss with people about wrong, sin, or disobedience, some will reply, "Well, I guess it depends on how you look at it." Situation ethics has not made this problem any easier for us to deal with in man's way of thinking today. It's okay to sin in certain situations, so some say. Yet this is not a new problem. It's been around a long time. In the days of the judges of Israel, when the king died, every man did what was right in his own eyes. In other words, he just lived to justify himself. Solomon made the same truth evident in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 2. Some seem to think today, like the majority of many people, they have the same concept that the prophet Isaiah wrote about in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, when we are told that the people of God were calling good evil and evil good. They seem to have things misconstructed and have them backwards. So do many people today. Given the situation, the circumstances, people involve themselves in their own judgment and rationalization. We rationalize ourselves to justify any type of behavior. Today, I want to discuss with you a fundamental truth, one that is clearly written and taught in God's Word, that wrong is always wrong. No situation, no set of circumstances, when it's wrong, it is always wrong. Is it wrong even when? What if I don't get caught? What if I tell a lie? No harm has been done. No one knows. If I spread a little gossip, who knows? I can lead a double life. I can do things in the dark. I can do things unknown to others. I can mislead somebody from the truth. I could tell them a lie. I could drink. I could gamble. I could swear. I can have an adulterous affair. And no one knows it. And so I've got away with it. Well, that's a misconception. When one sins, he needs to repent immediately. Why? Because sin separates a man from God. We talked about that last week in Isaiah chapter 59 and 1 and 2. But we also need to understand that God knows everything that we do. Every move we make. Every thought that goes into our head. Every action that we commit in this body, our Lord is aware of it. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, we are told, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." You see, God knows for sure. And so even if you don't get caught, even if you fooled everyone and no one knows except you and those who are involved, you didn't get away with it. And it is wrong because it's a transgression of God's will. And so God knows, so even if you don't get caught, it's still wrong. What about if I do it for a good cause? You see, Saul tried to use that reasoning in 1 Samuel chapter 15 when he was instructed by the prophet of God, Samuel, to go into the Amalekites and to destroy everything that drew the breath of life. Read 1 Samuel 15, 1-3. Yet he went and he destroyed most of those things, but he kept some of the sheep and the oxen and even the king. And then when he was called to give an account of his actions, he said the people kept them. He said they kept them. And then later on in chapter 15, he's going to do it in order that he might offer those animals in sacrifice to God. Did God accept that answer? No. Saul lost his kingdom over that. He lost favor with God. Why? Because God said to destroy. He didn't send him in there to make his own decisions. He was sent to follow God's decision. And so even though he said he would take the animals and offer them as a sacrifice to God, God still did not accept that reasoning. What about Sarah and Hagar? Sarah determined a way that she could help God out. She could give Abraham a son quicker than maybe God had planned. And so she allowed Hagar to be Abraham's wife and to raise up a child with him. And it seemed to work because Ishmael was born. Yet that created so many different problems, and that was not the child in promise. And later on, in Genesis chapter 21, Isaac is born, Sarah being his mother, and that was the child of God. You see, motive and intent doesn't matter. And even if you can convince yourself that it's done for a good cause, God won't accept that. Many use this thinking today in doing many things in religion that they think are right in and of themselves. That's why they do these great works of men. They build these great buildings for one function or another, for recreation, for feeding, or for pleasing men, or setting up some type of counseling session, or doing just all different kinds of things and calling it a good work because it's done for God. And so that doesn't make it wrong. That rationalization won't work. That is the doctrine of men. And we are told in Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9, that God will not accept the doctrines of men. And if we go beyond the doctrine of Christ, we lose fellowship with the Father and Son, according to 2 John 9 through 11. In Colossians 3, verse 17, we are plainly taught that whatever we do in word or deed, we must do all by His authority. You see, the ends don't justify the means. Raising money other than the first day of the week, by having bake sales and car washes and rummage sales or Monte Carlo night, God has authorized none of that. All that is not a good cause. That's only according to human reasoning. That doesn't justify the wrong that's done by failure to follow God's word. What about abortion? Well, that's a big political subject. Well, what about the right for the mother? What about in cases of rape and incest? Do you understand that the percentage of abortions that have to do with women who have been raped or incest is less than 0.5%? And what about the adoption route? There's other ways of handling that. No, you can't justify something by just giving it for a good cause. Same way with euthanasia, mercy killing, suicide, dying with dignity. All of that is rationalization of making something that's wrong and trying to make it right. And I don't care what cause you do it for. If it's wrong and God says it's wrong, it will always be wrong. What about some reasoning that some use? Well, you know, I'm not doing as bad as others. I'm better than this person or I'm better than that person. You know, religious people are always doing that. They're comparing themselves to some weaker person or some misguided soul. And since they're not as bad as that person, that means that they're okay. That's just self-rationalization. That's self-justification. Why not compare yourself to some other people, like Paul? What about Peter? What about Stephen? What about Timothy? Or even Christ himself? No, we're not going to do that because we don't want to be that religious. I drink less than a drunk, so that doesn't make me as bad as a drunk. What kind of reasoning is that? You're wrong whether you're drunk or whether you just drink socially. Both are sinful. Read 1 Peter 4, 1 through 4. Alcohol used in a recreational way or in any way other than medicinal purposes is sinful. Can we dabble in it? Can we say that we're better because others are doing worse? No, because it's wrong in the first place. And if something's wrong, it's wrong. It doesn't matter what degree you do it. It's wrong and it won't be accepted by God. What about if I can do it and my conscience doesn't bother me? Well, Paul did that, according to Acts 26, 9 through 11. He thought himself to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He also reiterated that in Acts 23, verse 1. But in Acts chapter 9, he was converted because he realized that what he was doing, even though he was doing it in a good conscience, was contrary to God's will, and so he changed and started following God's will. Just because something doesn't feel wrong doesn't mean it's not wrong. Some have this concept of a religion that's better felt than told. Remember conversion? There must be a change made in my heart. That change includes my heart, my mind, my body, and my soul. Who pardons us? Christ. Where does it take place? It takes place in our obedience. It's not by my feeling. It's not by what I think. It's not about what I judge right or wrong by my conscience. It's determined by truth. It's determined by what God says is right, what God says is wrong. And last but not least, some will use the example that consider it acceptable because the majority are doing it. Everybody's doing it. It's okay to have premarital sex. It's okay to live together. It's okay to have a homosexual relationship. It's okay to have an adulterous relationship. Why? Because everybody else is doing it. When I lived out in Las Vegas and I preached out there, people thought they could justify gambling because it was legal. Does it mean that it's right? Because sin is legalized, doesn't it make it right? When the state finally passed that marijuana is legal, will that mean it's okay for me to smoke marijuana? No, because no matter what the law says about it, no matter how you legalize it, if God says it's wrong, it's always wrong. It doesn't make any difference how many people think it's okay. I understand the majority of people think living together or premarital sex or homosexual relationship is just different sexual orientation, and none of them are wrong in and of themselves, and so it's really not wrong. Yes, it is wrong. It's wrong because God calls it a sin. It's sexual immorality. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11, Galatians 5, 19 through 21. God labels it as works of the flesh, and it doesn't matter how many people say it's okay. God says it's wrong, therefore it will always be wrong. And you know, we don't determine right or wrong. God determines what's right or wrong. God determines that in our lives. God determines that in our religion. God determines that in our worship service. And He determines it in the work of His church. If something is wrong, then it is wrong because God says it's wrong. If it is right, it's because it is found to be right in accordance with God's will. God is the last person and the only arbitrator in what conduct is right and what conduct is wrong. And you can use all these other self-justification reasonings that we've talked about this morning. Oh, you can say it because I didn't get caught, or because I did it for a good cause, or because others are doing far worse, or my conscience doesn't bother me, and it's accepted by the majority, and you can use all of these human reasoning thought processes to justify wrong behavior and call wrong right, as we alluded to in Isaiah 5 verse 20, but none of it changes the facts, friend. Wrong is wrong. If it's wrong today, it will be wrong tomorrow. And if God said it's wrong and it will always be wrong. And anything that you say or do will not change a wrong in it. Understand this one point. God determines what is right and what is wrong, not me and not you. We hope you understand that God is the one that's in the best position to do that, because He knows what's best for us and He knows our hearts. We want to thank you for listening again this morning. We want you to know that God loves you and we love you, and you hope that you will come and study with us this morning as we open up the pages of God's Word and we offer worship to Him. Please tune in again next week at this time when we will look again at the Word of Truth.